Welcome once again to the Sunday morning discussion, adult Sunday school, whatever I said there. Let's open with a word of prayer. How about you, Sean?
Amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are here this morning, waiting on you.
Yes.
To teach us and to guide us in your holy word. Our Father, we cannot understand the Bible just on our own. We pray that you open our hearing. We pray that you teach us so that we can understand your word. And then mostly guide us to do what your word tells us to do, to walk in a way that you want us to walk, not just to be people who can talk, but to do your will, Father.
Yes.
I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Good morning.
Good morning.
We have been in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I was thinking we might start chapter 16, which we could probably get through in one day because it's a lot of just like housekeeping notes. But there's a lot actually in there, if we take a real close look at it, about how we should treat one another, which I think is very important in our walk. But we still have, if anybody is, you know, wants to go over anything from chapter 15, you know, you want to read over from 50 to 58, or do you want to maybe just go from 54, see if there's anything in there? There's so much in that, in those kinds
of. Right. There is always a lot.
Yeah. It's and it really, no matter what you're reading,
yeah,
in the Bible,
exactly,
no matter what it is, even
exactly,
if it's a list of who begat who,
exactly,
you could, if your heart is right,
that's right,
and you're asking, just like you prayed, you know, Father, you be the teacher, you
that's
be
right,
the teacher.
That's right.
We don't know and you know it, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
You can always find something in there,
yeah,
always.
Yeah.
I don't know, I have the feeling that from 54 on, we might read again and see if anything, you know, it might not be a lot, but let's see if anybody has anything out of that.
Okay.
So, Brenda and Buddy, it's your turn? Okay. They're going to read out of the Classic Amplified Bible, and then...
And did you say from 54?
From 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 54 to the end.
Okay.
And when this perishable puts on the imperishable, and this that was capable of dying puts on freedom from death, then shall be fulfilled the scripture that says, death is swallowed up, utterly vanquished forever, in and unto victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Now sin is the sting of death, and sin exercises its power upon the soul through the abuse of the law.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask to read 57, 58, this.
But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, and knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile,
yes,
that it is never wasted or to no purpose.
Mm-hmm. Okay, does anybody have anything right off the top of your head already?
Well, I was just thinking about how death and dying in this life is such like really, really painful thing. the left, I mean, to the family that lost somebody. And sometimes when somebody dies, we completely forget that that it is the will of God that we be here for a moment, for some time. We like not here to be together all the time. And we just kind of like focus on, I wish she or he wouldn't die or have died, whatever. I wish they were staying here. And so we tend to kind of wanna be here when God, our Father, wants us to be here for just a moment, whatever the time He planned for us to be here. But we just kind of like tend to not understand because of all the power of death in the families and stuff like that. It's just kind of like, but I wish that we can all come to realize that there is a good lesson when somebody passes, not trouble all the time, not just like, oh, it's a sad story. It's a, I wish that we can understand and bring our mind to take it and thank God for everything He has for us in this life, and not be just kind of like sad and like really broken. Because God has a better plan than we have. He knows what is good for us than we know. Yeah.
Great words.
Yeah.
He knows. Yeah.
Murakoze.
Thank you.
Uranihangana ku cyongereza ntikiraza.
I'm sorry, my English is not there yet.
Okay.
What I would like to say on these verses, sometimes we kind of confuse stuff. For example, when somebody had an accident or is involved in an accident in the past, we see it as the person have died. But the Bible does not tell us that accidents and all these different deaths are the cause of the death. The cause or the reason of death is the sin. This is just one of the way people can pass away. The only thing that should threaten us is a sin in our life. Getting sick is something that is normal. Passing is something that is almost normal. But the most threatening things is to die in a sin.
Yes.
The good thing is that we live in a life that pleases God.
Thank you,
God bless you.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thanks, Robert.
If I add one more thing, we in our African culture, we actually kind of like tended to like, well, maybe be very, very, very sad when somebody, well, everybody gets sad when somebody passes, but it's like sometimes it's just like you find like
sometimes like almost nobody is able to talk to anybody, and you like, we're supposed to be Christians.
Yes.
We're not supposed like to to be like people who are not believers, who thinks that when you die, that's it.
Yes.
Especially if we, somebody is supposed to be a Christian or was a Christian, when they pass, as a Christian, we should not be thrown in sadness like non-believer, but sometimes we tend to be like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fantastic, yeah. I especially, I understand exactly what you were saying, because I'm a Christian, and a very good friend of mine is a Christian, and her son died out of season, as far as we're concerned,
right.
You know, and it's very difficult when she, in her grief, for to even speak about it. I find it hard to talk about it,
right.
And I find it hard to, probably for my own betterment, because I don't have the courage to, you know, I seem to find other things to talk about, and I feel, and I know that that's a shortcoming. I have to, you know, be with her, not just on the physical level, not even just on the emotional level, but we need to reach out to each other on a spiritual level, because that's the eternal level. That's when this corruptible takes on incorruptibility. When we can see the whole picture. A lot of the problem that we have on this earth sphere is that we are like an unborn baby. The only thing we've seen is the inside of the womb and the containment and the, you know, that there is something there taking care of us, but we're not sure what it is and everything. And then there's these birth pains. And, you know, and when you, that's sometimes the way I see death. Yes, it's scary. It's scary for an unborn baby. Oh my gosh, I ain't going out there, you know. I don't know what's there. And yet, the beautiful part of it is that our master is there.
Exactly.
That's what it is. And no matter what it is, we're going. And just like being born, you're going whether you want to or you don't, eventually, you know? And that's the same way as it is with the corruption of, I'm not going to say with death, because to me, there is no death. I've already had, you know, been raised from the dead of my nature. I am now raised in Christ, and there is no more death in me, whether I believe it or not. Same with the baby. Whether you believe it or not, you're going, and it's, you know. So God is so much more in control of these things than we realize. And I just got a real good leading for something for my own life out of what you just said.
Yeah.
About ministering to a person who's had this loss.
Right.
You just have to, you can't do it in the soulish realm, you can't do it in the physical realm. You can only do it in the spiritual realm, if you're speaking Christian to Christian. Anybody else?
Well, I'm going to say that, you know, we've all heard, if we're at a funeral or something like that, you hear, well, he's in a much better place.
Yeah.
Okay. Which sounds all well and good,
right.
But even believers, do we really understand what that really means?
Mm-hmm.
He's in a much better place. And to me, I'm going to go to all the way down to the end in verse 58, where it says, let nothing move you, always give yourself fully to the work. Well, I think the work is, when we see someone going through the grieving process of death, we shouldn't get down in the grieving process with them. We should encourage them. And to me, personally, that's the work for me. to be an encourager, not to be a woe is me person. And you know, how do you encourage someone, you know, who's going through that pain? I don't know. I'm not sure I know the answer.
But
to show it, to show the love of the Lord is how you encourage.
Have you seen this? It's called First Day in Heaven.
Did you lose it?
And I just, oh,
yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, yes.
I love this. To me, this is a reality.
Yeah.
Of your first day.
I believe you really have to look at it. Someone,
my Savior.
I remember I've actually lost two brothers. My older brother and the brother that was before me. But whenever they told me the news about about the passing away, the first thing I did as a Christian, I actually went and kneeled and prayed. And I asked God, you help me understand or taking this situation. Mm-hmm. And whenever I pray, it's like God will take all this death thing or shadow to take it from me. I would just kind of like, after praying, I feel like, oh my God, well, I just don't feel anything anymore. Mm-hmm. But sad story is that sometimes when death comes, we Christians sometimes are not strong enough to help those who might be really sad. And we find ourselves in the same, almost the same situation as they are, where there's like nobody to help nobody. I wish, just like I said, that that we can be strong in this situation of death, because that's where all the non-believer are very, very weak. Like whenever somebody passes, mm-hmm. they just kind of like break. They don't know how to take that, but. I wish that we can, as a Christian, we can be in a situation where we can be able to comfort those mm-hmm. who are in pain of losing their family.
Well, you know, if you go back to the verse, it says that God will not give us anything that we can't handle.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a terrible thing to lose someone that
it
you
is.
Love dearly. But you know, God has given you the ability to get through that.
Right.
Jim, there's a, I don't know if this relates to anything, down in New Orleans, you know, they get out of the parade and sing and dance when somebody passes away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering about that. You know, is that just a front, or because?
They're celebrating.
Uh-huh.
They're celebrating. Evidently, they're not seeing them hopeless, you know, and seeing that in their as they're, you know, celebrating. So what are they celebrating? Humbly, they have to be believing that there's something. Yeah, there's something better that their loved one or this person is going to and experiencing, so that would be what they would be celebrating. Because I know when we've gone to services now, they say celebration of life.
Yeah.
So you're celebrating the life of this person that's crossed over. And that's what they've been putting on almost all the programs, and I've been involved in them.
Sure.
So it's just a celebration, and it's of this person's life and what they have done with their life unto God while they have, you know, have been here. and I believe you're talking about comforting, that if we haven't experienced a death close to us, we don't understand what this person is going to. And in walking, they talk about walking in the other person's shoes, and that's not just in death, but in things that people are experiencing. I believe, see, my best friend, her oldest son, we've been friends for over 50-some years, and there's so many things that's happened to her in her life that's happened in my life. And she has four children, and I have two, but I raised three others. Her oldest son passed a year before mine did. And when I went to see her, she was just broken and crying. And all I could do was hug her, and I wept with her, because I didn't understand what all, you know, she was feeling and going. And she told me, I lost mother and father, brothers, husband, and now my child. And she said the hardest and greatest was the loss of her child. So I've experienced mother, father, and I don't know, but sisters, brother. And the next year, I lost my son, my oldest son. And there's many times no words you have for this person, only that you can sit with them. And as God gives you, because it's going to be him ministering through you to them, not you. Yeah. And is that, and you know what I found, that all the things we go through, even to death and that, it either deepens our relationship with him or we're returned away from him. Because many times people blame God. Why didn't take mine? Didn't take my child? He could have stopped this or what? But I can see, you know, to really sit with and depend upon God to give you what to minister to this individual, because he knows this person far greater than you do.
That's right.
Or we our own selves. And that's what I have found in a lot of people that have passed. And I know God, when my son passed, God said, the closer and greater the relationship, the greater the grief is, because you've been close to this person, almost one with this, you know. And so you no longer are having their presence. So I've experienced it. So I, you know this. And then I just look to God. He's the only one that can truly comfort us. And for him to encourage us, and we in turn, because everything we go through is not just for us. Is that we may minister to others that are in that same place we have been and experienced them. So, and you talk about the sting, but you talk about sin and about.
Well, I think, I think that when a person is going through the grieving process, someone dies, I think a lot of it. Maybe this is not the right thing to say, but I think a lot of it is how the person died. Like Justin was saying, well, someone dies in an accident, that's a surprise. But someone who's got stage 4 cancer and is at the end, that's, you know, that's not as big a surprise.
That's right.
You know, just like Kathy was talking about her for our friend whose son died, he got out of his car and dropped over dead. You know, that's a whole different story, you know. Wow, you know, and he was, what, 50? He was 50 years old, you know. Oh, he's doing good, you know, he's, boom. You know, I think that really defines how we grieve. You know, I know when my mom died, I knew the timing was come, because she died of colon cancer. And she had fought it for 4 or 5 years, when back then you really couldn't really fight it.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, that, but 5 years or 6 years later, when I got a phone call from my brother, called me and said, our dad is dead. And I thought, what do you mean? I said to him, what do you mean he's dead? Well, he had a brain aneurysm, and driving the car down the road, and died instantly. That was a shock. And it was a whole different experience.
Exactly.
You know? And that's why I go back to what I said before. God gives us the ability to be able to get through those things, no matter how, what the situation might be. And you gather people, and people gather around you to encourage you. That's what you need. You don't need more sadness. You've already got all the sadness you can handle.
Exactly.
You need more encouragement.
Yeah.
You know, and it goes back to what I said at the beginning. Well, you know, he's in a better place. He is, but I think it's our duty to help people understand what that better place is.
Thanks again. Before I say anything, can we read in Acts? Acts 17:32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, will we hear thee again of this matter? So Paul departed from them. The only thing I wanted to say on this verse, the non-believer, there are certain stuff that non-believer people would not want to go into. It's just like these people here, they did not understand the resurrection. The non-believer do not understand that there is resurrection, the resurrection of the dead. That's why they are so preoccupied about this life. And the other reason people do the things that are against God is this flesh, the body. But as a Christians, we always, as a Christian, you know that this body that we have, we come to an end one day. That's why we should not let our body control or the flesh control us.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. So true. It's just like we were saying there back in 50. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Right.
And, you know, even for us sometimes, for me sometimes it's hard. Yes, I know that they're in a better place. Yes, I know, absent from the body, present with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But it's another thing to realize that there is also a resurrection of the dead who are in Christ. I mean, it's not like we're never going to see them again. We will all be changed, you know, there and be one in Christ and in God. Well, it is hard to wrap your mind around, yes. And I think that encouragement you're talking about is really important.
So, talking about we're going to see them again.
Yeah.
It's like there is... sometimes like dispute, people would be like, okay, if I'm gonna see my mother, then I'm probably gonna love her as my mother, and then I'm not gonna feel like
everybody around me should be loved the same way. Well, I wonder, well, I was going to say, I wonder how it would be in heaven. I know the Bible says that it's going to be the things that we do not know, like we do not understand. Mm-hmm. We probably see our mother and brothers and sisters as just like everybody else, and we just would be happy to see them as we see everybody around us. I guess it'd be something special.
When the disciples questioned Jesus, mm-hmm. and the one woman, her husband had died,
right,
and then she married his brother, and they went on and on. They wanted to know who's going to be her husband.
That's right.
And he let them. There's no husband, yes. Wife. There's no. There's not that.
Yeah.
And that I believe we know one another, mm-hmm. but the relationship as husband, wife, mm-hmm. son, and that there's not that title or that.
Right.
On. But I believe we truly would. Because it was when they had the Mount of Transfiguration, when Elijah and what Moses appeared, which was known to only God showed them, because they never knew,
exactly.
never saw them, never been around them.
Yeah.
But it's been written in the Word that they appeared, and he was transfigured before them, so they knew them. God revealed to them as Elijah and Moses and who they were.
Yeah.
And I believe that when in heaven, in this place, with God, that we're not going to see him as our mother or father or that. But I don't believe there's any change in love between, because when God was showing me how the circles never, God gives me poems and that I've written over, people have read of many services. And that you don't see him as that. Mm-hmm. I don't believe I would, even my son, as much as I love him and the relationship I had with my own son, I have my son is still here, that I won't see him as my son, but I'll see him as one I've loved.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And he's loved me.
You know, and I feel that we love people imperfectly down here, no matter how much we
could.
And when we get there,
not as God, but
it's not that I won't love my mother and as I did.
Love her more.
But we will love our mother the way that Christ in God loved us.
Mm-hmm.
So completely and so powerfully,
yeah.
and so full of might that he gave himself for us.
Yeah.
And wow, that's going to be a lot better than me loving my mom because she gave me Tootsie Rolls. You know? Your relationship down here. And while I was thinking of that, I was thinking of when it says, and I don't want to place judgment on anyone, but I do think it's possible to lose your soul. But our soul is our personality.
Yeah.
If we, not we, but a person. I'm not going to put myself in that class. A person who was Adolf Hitler. He will lose his soul. All the things that made himself him. His will, his intellect. Thinking he knew it all, his emotions. But if God breathes the Spirit of God into all men, mm-hmm. something else is happening, I would never put a religious label on it. But I think losing your soul is possible. But losing the Spirit of God that God placed in us isn't. That then you will go back into your Creator. You know?
Well, God says every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. I don't believe he could come. I don't care what you've done.
That's true.
Or how.
But that part
evil,
of you.
You know, I'm saying.
That
it comes.
He burn up all of
that
shaft and stuff.
Yeah, when you come before him, there's no way he could stand and be feeling and being as he has been. That there would be a breaking. Even when you look back at those in the Old Testament and you talk about them, and it's like when they come in his presence, they have like dead, you know, weak and just, you know, that. And they were having a relationship with God.
Yes.
And was so thus humbled in his presence. So you know if someone is coming into his presence that has all of those things you're speaking of, you know, and all the things they've been, all the evil things they've been, that there would be a breaking and a humbling and a...
I don't think that God, well, it was any of his creation, any, you know, I don't think he would want to lose a child. Just like we wouldn't want to lose a child, but what they've done before, I mean, you're going to forgive them. And then, you know, like your human children, you know, your little children, you forgive them what they've done in the past.
When they bow their knee and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord.
But I don't think God would want to lose anybody. Mm-hmm.
But what has God given us to do? We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. That is all that God asks of us, is that we're where we step our foot, we bring reconciliation, you know, and we lead people gently, lovingly, and with great forgiveness to God.
He is not come with any condemnation. Mm-hmm. So if he has not come here, he doesn't have a debt, you know, either. Mm-hmm. And I just believe if they come into his presence, regardless of what they have done at all, and God has permitted them to do it. Mm-hmm. He, like Pharaoh, who hardened his heart, did not let the children return. Mm-hmm. So then, you say, oh, he was hardening even on that. Well, God hardened his heart. God had a purpose in all that he did for him doing what he did. Mm-hmm. And had the time to release the children of Israel. Mm-hmm. So, boy, some of the things you read the word, it confounds you. Takes him truly open to us what he is saying and what he is doing, even in our own very lives.
We could not no more understand God's purposes than a baby in your womb could understand your purposes. Mm-hmm.
And you know everyone, because of what they are doing, has come into this world that God has a plan and a purpose for them. And I know we're made beings of choice, so we've chosen, but he's still...
as
a plan and purpose for
each. And I'm saying, I still believe that he was going to lose any of his creation, his children, and people. It's my belief, I don't know.
And what are you speaking of when you say you can lose your soul?
I'm just speaking that, well, in a way,
no,
yeah.
I don't believe, yeah.
But I mean,
well,
I kind of think, that God doesn't want to lose anything, any child of his, because we are children of God. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you've done.
Yeah, I am. But because I think God foreknew everything, like he knows those who's gonna stay, who's gonna believe and stay in the faith their whole life. And he knows those who will deny him. But he, because he knew everything from the beginning, he does not make us do bad things. Mm-hmm. He does not cause us to do bad things. But he knows that some people will believe and on the way they will be, they will give up, and who knows, those who will go all the way to the end.
Mm. He gave us, you know, a choice.
Right.
To the right, he'd go to the left.
Exactly.
But like Brenda said, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess.
That's right.
Well, I think that's why that this verse says it. It says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, nothing move you.
That's right.
You know, what does stand firm mean? Mm-hmm. That this is what I believe and nothing's going to change my mind.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But I want to read this on the footnote here. It said, Paul says that because of the resurrection, nothing we do is in vain. Sometimes we hesitate to do good because we don't see any results. But if we can maintain a heavenly perspective, we will understand that we often will not see the good that results from our efforts. If we truly believe that Christ won the ultimate victory, that fact must affect the way we live right now. That's standing firm. Don't let it discouragement over an apparent lack of result keep you from working. Do the good that you have the opportunity to do, knowing that your work will have eternal results. But at the end, that's the other thing that it's jumped out at me. We have the opportunity. You know, in this world, if you're living in the world today, people say, well, I want to have an opportunity to do this. You know, sometimes you get the opportunity and you don't have the courage to stand up and take advantage of it. This says stand firm and take advantage of it and do what you're supposed to do, what I'm telling you to do. For me, that is a really important part of my life. I want the opportunities. I want to look for the opportunities, you know, to encourage and do what I need, what God wants me to do. Am I going to miss some? You bet. But, you know, the more you're open to what he's done and what we have to look forward to, the more opportunities you're going to have.
Being open to him, seeing him and knowing him, we will recognize. Sometimes we don't even recognize the opportunity
that
God
right.
has brought into our path. Mm-hmm. And see it as, well, this is a time that you maybe it's a pasture. Mm-hmm. You look back and say, I should have did such and such with this person. Mm-hmm. I should have said such and such. Mm-hmm. And I didn't recognize at the moment that this is an opportunity that God has given me mm-hmm. then mm-hmm. until the
That's
moment
right.
has passed.
Goes right by your face and you don't even recognize.
That comes from the more we know him and the more we see him and know his voice and know him, the more that we do, the more we will recognize these opportunities that he brings to us.
That's right.
To present him.
That's
you know,
right.
It was no more than down someone, good morning, pleasant.
We
smile,
miss it, we
God
do.
God bless you. Or
we miss it, and we say, I wish I would have done that.
Said that.
Why didn't I do that?
Didn't
and then we judge
God.
Ourselves. Then we're judging ourselves.
Oh, God, you're looking at me. I mean, God gave me an opportunity. But, I can't even go to the man that I looked and then said, I should have went up. You know, I was going to the store one time, this has been years back, and my doctor, I heard that he had retired and that he had cancer of the throat. And as I went by and glanced at his house, it was on a Saturday night and it was late. But I saw a light on him and I glanced and I said, oh, no, Dr. Toe. And I said, oh, God, bless him. I was just saying that as I went by. And when I got to the store, I came back. I felt to go knock on his door and to go tell him how I appreciated him as a doctor and the sacrifices that he made. I said, oh, he's going to think I'm crazy. This is what I'm thinking. This is my mind. Your natural mind. A late Saturday night, you probably think I'm drunk or something, you know, this. And this is my mind set. And went on, didn't go by, just still prayed in passing. And then a week later, and then forgot about it. And a week later, he passes. Right now, came to my mind. I should have it's not I. See, but God still will condemn us, even in our shortcomings.
That's right.
We did not obey.
That's right.
But you're broken and feel horrible. I was repenting of that. You know, not that I never did something else again after that, but something that I didn't follow through in.
Yeah, but God knows the flesh.
Oh, yes, and He knows. And so you're, and He's not condemning you.
No.
But it's making you.
Doing it to yourself.
Yeah, I repent it too.
I get tired doing it to myself.
It puts you more in a place of more dependence.
What is that verse that says, letting go of what is behind, pushing forward? We've all got things that still embarrass us, that we have done, fought, resented, that, you know, it's time to realize God is all and in all, and press toward the mark of the high calling.
Yes,
Christ.
Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes.
What you got there, dear?
Oh, I was just looking it up, and where does it say? It says, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?"
That's right.
So that's where I came up with that. But where is it? I don't know. It's in verse 36 or something, but I didn't. Mark 8:36. Yes. Mm-hmm. What good is it? Because I know that I put it wrong. I did not say it correctly. But Mark 8:36. Okay. Oh, we better go. I know that I didn't say exactly what I was trying to say. But I think that there are some aspects of our personality that we, it's just like it says, corruptible can't put on incorrupt, you know, and flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. But I think that there are some aspects of our soul that we can't carry into eternity with us.
I thought it was Brother Oscar that I heard God's teaching from, but I heard this person saying that the fullness of us being in God would be, I don't know if there is any truth in that, but he was like, it's when the spirit will marry the soul, we be one thing.
Oh, yes.
So he said that's when we're going to be complete. Right now, the soul is sometimes detached to the spirit, and we do different things than what the spirit wants us to do. But when they become all one, then
the
spirit, the soul
in subjection.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
Yes.
I remember saying that.
Yeah.
Is it 36?
Yes, because it says, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life in the eternal kingdom of God?" For what can a man give as an exchange, compensation, or a ransom in return for his blessed life in the kingdom of God?
Yes.
Well, I think next week when Brother Austin gets back, we ought to have him weigh in on that.
Right.
When you hear something from me, it is not from the chair.
We work to learn more, and that's it.
And
God has given him greater understanding in some ways to be able to teach it to make it real and known to us.
He really has a gift for that.
He does.
He always
says
every when we come in here, he says, "Hello, teacher," to me, and I go, "Uh-uh." You may say hello, facilitator, to me. You're the teacher. Christ is the teacher. God is the teacher.
I'm actually glad that, you know I could have gone back and asked a question, but I had a question on chapter 16 on verse 1, because there is some kind of contention or whatever.
Yeah, I saw that too. They're taking up a collection.
Yeah, about where the collection and about the deacon, because in some of the version says that Phoebe in the first thing she was a deacon, and some would say, oh no, the deacons are men, and there is some kind of like so much of a misunderstanding of those things. So I wanted kind of like ask his opinion on that.
Yes.
Because within the church, some have different
mm-hmm.
kind of understanding of
mm-hmm.
certain passages.
Mm-hmm.
So.
We will start that next week.
We need
yeah.
to hear. I know we did.
Yes.
Let's just go ahead and pray.
Amen.
Brenda, would you?
Oh, yeah. Father, we just thank you for the fellowship and the gathering together
Amen.
Unto you, Lord. We thank
Amen.
You for how we share
Amen.
You in one another, Father, and how you come forth, Jesus, and reveal to us what is upon your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And how we so desire to be pleasing to you and to speak, Father, and to do and to be that which you have us to be, Lord. Father, as we go to this next service, I ask you to be glorified, Lord, in all that is said and done. May we look to you, Lord, and receive in our hearts and go out and obey that which you've given unto us. For we ask it all. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. Amen.